Good morning. We are thrilled that this morning we have baptisms. John Tillman and his two sons, Levi and Caleb, are going to be baptized this morning. They have trusted Christ as Savior and Lord, and now they want to make this testimony public through this baptism and ordinance that it is. We observe it. So I pray you give attention here at this time. Come on down, Levi. Levi Tillman, have you trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I did.
What's your testimony?
I love Jesus and I just want to live my life devoted to Him.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord, Levi, because you've trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and it's your desire to follow Him in this obedience of baptism. I now baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. God bless. Amen. Now, Caleb, come on down. Caleb, have you trusted Jesus as your Savior and Lord?
Yes, I have.
What is your testimony?
I love God and I will give my life to Him.
All right. Well, brother, because you have trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and it's your desire now to follow Him in this ordinance of baptism, I now baptize you, my little brother, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, John. John, have you trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I have.
What is your testimony?
I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior.
Amen. John, because you have trusted Christ and it's your desire to follow Him in this obedience of baptism, I now baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless. Praise the Lord. Allow me to pray with you this morning. Our Father, we are so humbled before you, and we thank you for the privilege to be in your house today to acknowledge our God and Lord God, our Creator, our Redeemer. We pray, Father, that this display of baptism today in the lives of these three men are indicative of the spiritual surrender that they have made to you, and that, Lord God, you will fill them with your Spirit, your power, with wisdom, and that, Lord God, you will use them in your kingdom's work in the days to come. We pray, Father, that as a church, we recognize our responsibility to help them to grow and to know you, and Lord God, to serve alongside them as we look forward to your coming again in Christ. And Lord God, we pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. God bless.
Hi, good morning and welcome to First Baptist Edna. If you're visiting with us today, inside our program, you'll find a perforated section. We'd ask that you fill that out, tear it out, and put it in our offering plate. And there's many items in there to bring your attention to. Have you read this on your own, but we have the blessing boxes, the wish tree. Parents that have smaller kids and children, you might want to check out the Parents Night Out. You might be very interested in that on December 2nd. So please check your program for announcements. I do want to mention that there are no evening activities here tonight, no services tonight. We will be over at the Ranch Church, just right off of 822, for the community-wide Thanksgiving put on by the Ministerial Alliance. So we hope you will attend over there at 6 o'clock tonight. Brother Robert will be bringing the message tonight there. All right. Boy, you can't start off better than baptisms, can you? And there's one reason why these three did what Jesus said by confessing his faith in us, and why those of us that are Christians did, and it's because God so loved us. And that's the first song we're going to sing tonight. Please stand as we sing God So Loved.
Drink of the water, come and thirst no sinners, come find his mercy. Come to the table, he'll satisfy. Taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for.
See other. Just thanking you for the privilege of being here in your house this morning. We thank you for the evidence of saved souls and the baptisms. It's such a blessing, Father, to see that. We thank you for all of the good things you give us and for the fact that all things that we have and all the things that we are come from you. And so we thank you for that as we give these offerings back to you as you asked. Father, speak through the pastor this morning as he preaches your word. Prepare our hearts to hear and understand and apply that which you have. And if there be one here who's not made the most important decision in their life to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, it's our prayer that that happened today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
In the darkness we were waiting, without hope, without light, till the heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes. To fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory, to a cradle in the dirt.
Thank you for giving us a country that we live in, that we worship you freely. Father, we know that's not the case all around the world, Father. Father, I do want to pray for Israel and stuff that they're going through, Father. I do want to also pray for the OCC and the drop-off, Father. We've had a lot of shoeboxes delivered to this church, Father. We have this afternoon and tomorrow. And we just ask a blessing on those churches and those individuals that are given so much to do these shoeboxes, Father. We just ask that you take those, send them around the world, Father, and your will be done in them. Some child that needs to hear you, Father, this will be a way to do it. They can share that with their friends and their families, Father. And we know you will do good through this. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for allowing us to witness the baptism today, Father. And thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Houston and choir, and all the people who sang. I'll even thank you who didn't sing. Okay. But the Lord wants to hear a loud voice, a joyful voice, and sometimes it may not be pretty, but it is to him, and so we should offer it. Over the 42 years of my life in Christ, I have gradually come to better understand that gratitude to the Lord is an ongoing process for the believer. It is something that you grow into as you live for him and as you learn of him and as you know him better and as you have opportunity to serve him in the good and the difficult. You grow in your gratitude toward the Lord. It becomes a delight to be able to offer praise and thanksgiving to the Father. And there are a lot of categories where that can happen, and I'll just throw out some that I thought of as I was preparing for this week. And maybe it'll strike a chord for you in relationships. Grateful for relationships, grateful for a spouse that loves the Lord and serves the Lord so many ways. Grateful for children and grandchildren, and all that that encompasses. Grateful for friends that I've had over the years, for neighborhoods that I've lived in and have lasting relationships from those times, school years, whether it be in grade school, junior high, high school, or even beyond, people that I connected with and that I knew and are precious to me to this day. I thank the Lord for them. I think about those that I learned to know at different jobs in my life, through recreation times that I've had and through ministry, the vocations that I've endured. You can think of a lot of vocations perhaps that you've been involved in. My first job was a busboy, and then I was a dishwasher in that same restaurant, and then I became a waiter. I worked as a custodian for an apartment complex, pulling weeds and keeping breezeways clean. I did that for a while. I worked as a convenience store clerk from 11 at night till 7 in the morning. I got to see the best of the best come into the stores in the middle of the night. I worked as a warehouse worker for a large retail company. I worked as a draftsman, an office manager, and ultimately as a pastor. There've been lots of opportunities to serve the Lord in those various different areas. And as the Lord saved me, and then I was able to be an influence upon others, I've seen fruit from that. I'm grateful for vocations. I'm grateful for the experiences that I've had in life. The first time I ever saw a mountain, I fell apart. I could not believe the beauty and the grandeur of a piece of land that would stir my heart and draw me nearer to the Lord. I've seen both of the oceans around the United States, the Pacific and the Atlantic, and the vision moved me. I haven't seen the Grand Canyon. I'd sure like to see that one day. But I have been to Israel. I've walked on ground that's holy ground where Christ walked and where his disciples and his followers walked. It's been an amazing life, and I give God the glory for all of those. I've experienced heartache, too. There have been difficult days, which everyone has. I grew up in a broken home. I've watched relatives die from tragic events, from cancer. I've lost personal friends to disease and also to tragedy. I've been poor. I have learned about humanity even through those lean years. I was a minority in a community one time, and I was one of few white families in a community. I know what it is to experience prejudice and bias because of your skin color. I have known what it is to be betrayed by very close friends. And even through difficult times, God has been so good. He has been steadfast. And for that, we can be grateful as believers. I want us, as we approach this Thanksgiving season, I always challenge myself, but I want us to have opportunity to intentionally reflect upon the many ways the Lord's provided for us and to consider the good and the bad and the many opportunities that He has provided. But I surely don't want us to leave out gratitude for our salvation, for God's grace being extended to us so that we might know the God who is the Creator, who is a Redeemer, and who loves us and is provider of all things. Jehovah Jireh, the provider of all things. Even in the difficult situations, the Lord is providing for us. It might be chastisement to hone us and to bring us into a right relationship with Him. And it might just be great joyful experience so that He can delight our hearts in the joy of living. I'm hopeful that this morning's text will help us to kind of be able to reflect on that. I'd like for us to start in verse 1 and 2 of Psalm 107. Please stand with me as we read just these couple of verses. I will warn you that there are 43 verses, and we will cover every one of them this morning. Delightful. Be grateful to the Lord. Let us read these two verses and then pray. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His loving kindness is everlasting. That word loving kindness is also mercy. His mercy is everlasting. And let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the adversary. Let's pray together. Father, we love You and we thank You. The great privilege that it is to know You by grace through faith in Christ. Then also, Father, to have the privilege to meet together with other believers who have experienced Your salvation and to celebrate together our God who is worthy of our worship, our adoration. We thank You also, Father, for the privilege of knowing people in our world that may not know You and the great responsibility that You've given us to be a light in their darkness. Lord God, may we ever be grateful to You. We thank You, Father, that You have indeed redeemed us, that You have allowed us to know mercy, and that You compel us, even as this passage says, to say so. Lord God, may You be exalted this morning as we examine this psalm. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, because I'm going to cover 40-something verses, that means we're going to fly. So be ready to move this morning. This text is just kind of the springboard. It's the diving board from which we're going to get into a pool of reminders regarding spiritual benefits and also responsibilities that the Lord has presented before us who have trusted God through Christ Jesus. This particular song is found in a greater context, of course. Psalm 105 is a psalm that begins saying, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people, sing to Him, sing praises to Him, speak of all His wonders, glory in His holy name." There's a lot in that psalm just at the very beginning that we are called to thank our God and then to sing praises, to express that somehow. I believe in sitting and meditating. I believe in enjoying the presence of the Lord, but we are also given a great opportunity to be able to express what the Lord's done for us to others. In the old days, we called that testimony. You testified of what God has done for you, and we've kind of lost that sense of testimony. We live in a world that has a different opinion about God, and we've kind of honed it down. We need to be faithful that as we're thinking about the goodness of God, how He has been so provisional for us that we are willing to express it. Then in Psalm 106, the beginning of that is much like the beginning of Psalm 107 we just read. Praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for He's good and His loving kindness is everlasting. And that's kind of a theme through some of the Psalms, especially the one that we're looking at, giving thanks and praise to the Lord God for His mercy, for that which He has withheld from us that we certainly deserve, and instead providing for us that which we do not deserve. So as we look at this passage in its context, I want to think about this mercy of God. This kind of mercy goes beyond just a general concern for the needs of man. To some extent, all human beings experience God's good mercy. We all deserve wrath and fury because of our sin, but God has allowed us, permitted us to be born and to live and to enjoy life, to breathe air, to have relationships with one another, to experience vocations or recreation in such a way that we get to enjoy life. There's great mercy in the fact that God does not just immediately snap us into hell because of our sin. He allows us opportunity to be able to minister, to be able to enjoy life. It is a great thing, this mercy of God, and we should never forget it. And as we're born into this experience, hopefully we eventually get led to a place where we recognize that God is creator. The beauty of the mountains and the oceans and the way animals react with one another. And even as children are growing up, we can see that the handprint of God is upon those experiences, upon those observations. We must conclude there's a creator. There's a wise creator who has made us in his image so that we might communicate with him and then be able to interact with the creation around us. So there should be great gratitude in our heart for all of that. But if a person should call out for salvation, seeing this beauty of the creation and knowing there is a creator and he must be worshiped, they will experience great mercy from God. He will withhold from them the eternal judgment that is to come for all sinners who are unrepentant. God's loving kindness or mercy toward the believer can also be considered in this earthly life. And it's of consideration here in our message that we're looking at. The second verse that we read here as we consider giving thanks to God for his loving kindness. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Again, I mentioned that we have a compelling urgency from God that we declare his goodness. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this. The one he's redeemed from the hand of the adversary. Well, there's no greater adversary for us than the devil. He's an enemy who desires to steal, kill, and destroy. He does not want any of us to experience the joy and the glory of God's presence and his goodness and his grace being poured out upon us. And he will do all he can, and he does. Just look around in your world and see that there is a lot of wickedness. There's a lot of craziness. There's temptation all around, and people are falling by the thousands day by day. But God is faithful, and he reveals himself. And if the believers will live according to what they've experienced in the way of redemption and testify of it, then many more will come to know him by the grace of God through his work in and through those believers. Notice God's loving kindness. We are to let the redeemed of the Lord say his loving kindness is everlasting. And the experiences of life give the believer several reasons to declare this goodness to all who will listen. Now here I'm laying out a responsibility for us as people of God. Who shall we say this to? Who shall we rejoice and let the redeemed say God's mercy is grateful? First off, we say it to the Lord God, because the Lord God is the Redeemer. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of hearing his people rejoice in that which he has produced inside of them. And one of the scripture verses in the Psalms 22 verse 3 says that the Lord inhabits our praise. That is, he's enthroned. He sits upon the praises of his people. He longs to hear his people praise him and give him thanks for the goodness that he's done. Tonight I'll be preaching over at the Ranch Church for the Community Thanksgiving Service sponsored by the Ministerial Alliance in Jackson County. I'm going to refer to the 10 lepers who were healed by Christ. And 9 went on, but 1 came back to give thanks. The Lord loves for us to give him thanks, to acknowledge and recognize what he has indeed done for us. Because many are going to forget. Many are going to just walk away and take advantage of it. And they're just going to enjoy it, but they will not come to the Lord and express it. God wants to hear. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so to our God, who's creator. Who else can we speak this to? Well, we can speak this truth to one another. That's why we gather and worship. We come together to sing songs. We remind ourselves and one another as we're singing together. We have a God who's great. He's a redeemer. He's a God who's high and lifted up. He's a God who's reached down into the depths of where we are, and he's pulled us up, not because of anything good in us, but because of his goodness. We should sing and rejoice about that together, and we should share that with one another. We sit in Sunday school classes and share struggles we're going through in life. We study the word together. We make application of that word so that we can encourage one another, instruct one another, sometimes correct one another. But it is out of that love that brings us together, and we acknowledge the mercy of God lasts forever. And for believers, it is a wonder to experience it and then to share it with one another. That's what worship is about. So we say this to the Lord God. We say this to one another, but we also have opportunity to say it to the lost, to those around us that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope that you live your life in such a way, you experience the holidays that are coming in such a way that you will seem different to those who do not know the Lord. Why am I so excited about Thanksgiving? Why am I excited about Christmas? It's not just about gifts. It's not about the big dinner. It is about the fact that our God sent his Son so we could live forever. And he gave us families to share that with so we would be faithful, passing the baton of life from one generation to another, acknowledging this God who is nothing but good. And when he invests himself in us, then we have a wonderful responsibility. In fact, it's an opportunity, it's a privilege for believers to be able to share. And so when there's lost in our midst, whether it be in your family, whether it be neighbors, friends, coworkers, classmates, we have an opportunity to let the redeemed of the Lord say, God's mercy is good and it lasts forever. And to testify of his goodness to others. So we do that for God because he's worthy of our worship. We do it for one another because it's the ministry we have among ourselves. And then we do it for the lost because we are called to evangelize. We are called to testify of God's goodness to the world. And why? Because the Lord has delivered us from this adversary that we spoke of a while ago who wants nothing but death. And boy, he is gaining supply by the moment among those in our world. Perhaps even in our own families or neighborhoods or friendships, we find the devil winning the battle. So we must be active and declare good news. Well, how do we know who to declare it to? In this passage, I'm going to give you some categories. There are different ones, and some of them may sound redundant. But in verses 4 through 9 of our text, we find here, these wandered in the wilderness in a desert. And we're still answering the question or thinking about who the redeemed of the Lord should say these things to. Well, how about those who wandered in a desert region? They did not find a way to an inhabited city. They were hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. They cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. One could say, wow, this sounds exactly like Israel. Before they were a people, God called them out of the wilderness. He called Abraham out of Chaldeans, of Ur. He called him, and he made him a people, a nation. He was in the wilderness. When I think about those in the wilderness, I think about those perhaps in primitive times. Abraham and his family, in fact, his sons lived in tents. They didn't build houses for themselves. When they were brought to the new land, the Lord God said, don't build any houses, just live in tents for a while because you haven't inhabited the land. So they couldn't even go and build them an official home. They just lived in tents. They were in the wilderness. They didn't really have a place. But notice what's said here. They didn't find a way to an inhabited city. They were hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. They cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them. He led them also by straight way to an inhabited city, and he let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness, for his wonders to the sons of men, because he satisfied the thirsty soul and the hungry soul he's filled with what is good. There are those that live in wilderness among us. There are those who live in primitive times. They've never heard about God, Christ, religion. Maybe the religions of the cult or religions of the world, but they've not heard of Christ. And they need to be satisfied. They're thirsty and hungry, and they're living in like a primitive way. But should these hear of the goodness of the Lord and of his mercy, because someone who knows the Lord testifies, the redeemed, let the redeemed say so, that these might call upon the Lord in their distress and they might experience his goodness, and they then might be filled. They will no longer be thirsty or hungry. They will have experienced this goodness of the Lord themselves. And then in verses 10 and following, 10 through 16, there are those who dwelt in darkness, a shadow of death, prisoners in misery and chains, because they rebelled against the words of God. They spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he humbled their heart with labor, and they stumbled, and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses and brought them out of the darkness, the shadow of death, and broke their bonds, their bands forever. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness. There's hope for the one who's redeemed and will testify to those who have rebuked truth in their past. Listen, there are some that were raised up in church, have rebelled against it, said, I'm not going to drag my kids to church because my parents drugged me and it didn't do any good. And there are many that have heard the word of God and said, forget it, and they walked away, but that at some point, a faithful believer will share and testify of God's goodness, and the Lord will open their heart, and they will be transformed, and they will come to understand this true mercy and loving kindness of God, and they will praise him for his wonders. And all of their bonds will be released. They will finally be free. They will no longer be slaves who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death and prisoners. They will have been set free because they have followed the words of the Lord God. I don't know about you, but I know plenty who have shunned the truth of God's word. I know those that some that I encounter along the way. I play basketball with a group of guys. I play golf with a group of guys. And there are some in each of those groups. They have shunned God, but I continue to pray, and I continue to be a witness, and I continue to be steadfast, to be faithful to them, because I know God is able, because he's a God who's merciful, and that mercy endures forever. He is able to penetrate the hearts of those who will say yes to him one day, and so I am faithful to do that, and I say that we should, as the redeemed of the Lord, let's say so to those around us, even those who have outwardly pushed away the church, pushed away religious things, and been humbled by the Lord God, that perhaps they might turn to him. Now, verses 17 and following give us a different category of people, fools. Their rebellious way. Their iniquities were, because of their iniquities, they were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all kind of food. They drew near to the gates of death. This would represent a group of people who just, they don't know any better than they just make bad choices. They just are following their flesh. They're just living life. Perhaps never heard about the Lord God. Maybe they had heard about the Lord God, but it never made any sense to them. But as they drew near to the gates of death, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, verse 19, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. So let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness. Now here we find a group of people that needed to hear the word, and when they heard the word, they were delivered. By the power of the word, they were saved. You know, Apostle Paul wrote in the New Testament, he said, it's by faith, the hearing of the word that we believe, right? Faith comes by the hearing of the word. They have to hear it. Later on in that same section, he says, but how can they hear if no one says anything? And how will they say anything if they're not sent? The Lord God sends us. We've come to know him. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. There are people around who need just simply to hear the word of God spoken so that they might be impacted by that truth and they would come to know him. We are called as a people of God to declare this. Let the redeemed of the Lord rejoice. Let the redeemed of the Lord declare that God is able to save even fools. And as the testimony of Christ is given to them, they will turn to him. And they too can give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and his wonders towards the sons of men. Then when they do that, they'll offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his works with joyful singing. What that does is produces new people who will share along with the redeemed. It is a multiplication process. It's what's called discipleship. And we should be faithful. We have the key for that process taking place because we have the message of Christ Jesus. And there are many lost around us, even in our own associations. So we must be faithful. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And then we find in verses 23 down through another section. We'll not read all of this, but this is referring to not so much the primitive, like we heard earlier, who lived in tents, but this could be sophisticated, educated, higher class kind of people who have become self-sufficient. Everything that has kind of come easy to them, and they've got life not so bad. those who go down to the sea in ships and do business on great waters, and they've seen the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. He spoke and raised up a stormy wind that lifted up the waves of the sea, and they rose up to the heavens. They went down to the depths and the waves of of that storm, and their soul melted away in misery. And they were like drunken men as they staggered, and they were at their wits' end. And then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distresses. You know, there are people around you that are very successful, people that have done well. I think about the prodigal, the son of the prodigal father. You know, he wished his dad were dead so he could get his inheritance. And once he got it, he went, and he just blew it on everything, anything and everything. But the scripture tells us that later he was working in a pig pen and he began to ponder these things and he thought to himself, what is going on? My father's servants have 3 square meals a day. They have a place to sleep and here I am in a pigsty. And so he came to himself. The scripture says he came to himself and he said, I'll go back to my father and I'll just say, look, I'll be your slave because I know slaves have it better than what I've got here. And he went back to his father and the father made him a son again. He made him the heir. He put a robe on him. He put a ring on his finger. He fed him a son's feast. The Lord God redeems even those who are self-sufficient. He sometimes brings them to a place where they're deeply afflicted. But if someone who's redeemed to the Lord will say so and be there and express this God who's merciful, they will find salvation. They will be removed from their distresses and experience this salvation. And then they too will cry out to the Lord and they will give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness, for his wonders to the sons of men. And they will extol him in the congregations of the people, verse 32 says, and praise him at the seat of the elders. You know, these folks will end up coming to a place where other believers are and congregate together and share, just as we noted a moment ago. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. To whom? To the Lord, to one another. And that will be a part of this. As we are sharing, the Lord will bring about his purposes. Now, verses 33 to 38 kind of changes tone here. God, he changes rivers into a wilderness, springs of water into a thirsty ground. So here the implication is that things that are robust and plentiful and abundant can be turned into that which is nothing. Rivers into wilderness, springs of water into thirsty ground, fruitful land to a salt waste. And that's because of the wickedness of those who dwell in it. But God also changes wilderness into a pool of water, dry land into springs of water, makes the hungry to dwell that they may establish an inhabited city and sow fields and plant vineyards and gather fruitful harvest. He makes things that aren't plentiful, plentiful. What this tells me is that the Lord is in control. We are called to let the redeemed of the Lord say that God is merciful, but God's in control. God will make those who are plentiful, he will humble the exalted and he will exalt the humbled. God is in charge of those things. And he will make right those things that need to be made right. And we find that as we go down through this passage of Scripture. When they are diminished and bowed down through oppression, misery, and sorrow, he pours contempt on the princes, on those who are the oppressors, and he makes them wander in pathless waste, sets the needy securely on high, away from affliction, and makes his families like a flock. In those passages of Scripture, God justifies. God's the one who ultimately justifies. He makes things right. And we can trust him that while he is in control, he's also orchestrating those things to work out to his purposes. Look at verse 42. The upright see it and they're glad. When the upright see justice being accomplished, that God's orchestrating those things for the good, the upright should stand up and they should see it and be glad. And in doing so, let the redeemed of the Lord tell others, look what God is doing. But notice also in that same verse, all the unrighteousness shuts its mouth. All the unrighteousness shuts its mouth. Those that are wicked will have their mouths shut because they will be dumbfounded at what God is doing. All we are called to do is to be faithful, to exalt this God who is merciful. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We are compelled by the Lord God to not forget that we have much for which to be thankful, and we can testify of that to all those around us. Look at verse 43, closing out with this. Who is wise? And let him give heed to these things and consider the loving kindness of the Lord. We should be wise. If you're saying, I don't know if I have wisdom, ask of God. God will give to those who ask, and he will give liberally to those who seek it. And in being wise, then we heed what we know. It is no great thing to have a lot of knowledge if you don't know how to use the knowledge. A wise person is one who leans upon the Lord God for understanding, but then how to use what I know. And here, whether you're in the wilderness or you've struggled or you've come through difficulties or you've gone through great things, now what do I do with that? Lord, make me wise so that I know how to handle this, and then I know how to declare these things to those around me who need to hear. And as you do that, consider this mercy of God that's been extended to you by a God who is fair, he's just, he will bring vindication one day to all the righteous. The unrighteous will be pushed away. But in the meantime, we have a great responsibility to be able to share the truth of the gospel with all from every area so that they might have opportunity to respond and give glory to the same God. I will say this to you, Redeemer. This passage says enough. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You've been compelled this morning. And I ask you to exercise wisdom to let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Tell somebody the goodness of God, his mercy. Do not hesitate to share that good news with someone because it may impact their heart, bring them to a place where they'll yield to him. We are called to understand that God has withheld what we deserved and provided what we needed through Christ Jesus. And we should yield to him moment by moment and day by day, and then express thanksgiving to the Lord for that mercy. And listen, we can't live without mercy. Not live forever. You can live for a while, but everybody who stands before the Lord is going to need his mercy if they're going to live forever. At least with him, his grace, his goodness cannot be experienced outside of relationship with Christ. And so his mercy is extended when we trust ourselves to him. And if there's somebody here this morning you've not trusted Christ, I would compel you, respond to the stirring the Lord's creating in your heart to say yes to Jesus, to trust him for his work, to experience his mercy that is extended to those who will trust him. And then you will be able to be content with how he's working all of those things out. You'll trust him with his work. You'll know that he's in charge and he makes those things that are horrible good in their time. And he will make those things that are good to those who are wicked horrible in their time. God is a vindicator of those who trust him. Will you trust him today? And then when you do, will you tell somebody else what the Lord's done for you in the way of mercy? Praise the Lord that he has given mercy. He's withheld what we deserve. He has granted what we did not deserve. He is a great God. And he expressed himself through Christ Jesus, who was the very epitome of God in our presence. And he showed us what mercy was. It was Christ who said, "Blessed are those who are merciful, for they will have experienced mercy." Have you experienced mercy? Well, let's be merciful. Let's tell people about him. Let's ponder. Now will be our time to respond. Part of our worship is to respond to his truth, and that we will respond accordingly. Let's stand together and allow me to pray before we begin. Father, we thank you for the truth that you've presented to us this morning. We thank you for your mercy, that it endures forever, that is available in this life for those who hear of Christ Jesus and trust that his death paid the price for their sin, also believing that God raised Christ from the dead. I pray, Father, that you would stir the hearts of all in this place, believers, so that we might be compelled to obey and to be willing to testify of your goodness to others. And then for those who may not know you, Father, that you're drawing them to yourself in this hour, that they might know you and then be willing to testify to others of the great work you've done in their life. Father, do your work in our midst. We trust you, and we pray thanking you in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right. Brother Houston's going to lead us. Let's sing together. If the Lord's prompted you, please move from where you are to where the Lord leads you to be. God bless. Father, we are grateful for worship. We're grateful, Father, that you would receive our expressions from our heart, our monetary sacrifices, Lord God, our singing, and our attention. We pray now you take our lives and use them to your glory. And Father God, that you would be exalted and glorified through all that we could say, do, and think on your behalf this week. Father, bless these that are here today, the homes that they will be in, and the families that they'll be around. I pray, Father, your Spirit has freedom to work in and through the believers in this place, wherever they find themselves, and that you will be lifted up all over the place. To your glory, we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, God bless. Tonight we have, I guess I better give these baptism certificates to our baptism folks, the Tillmans, if they'll come at this time. It was my honor to baptize this father and his two sons, John, Levi, and Caleb. And here's a baptism certificate. Guys, okay. Levi, there you go. Caleb and John, God bless. Thank you, men. It was my honor. Y'all take care. And if you need something, let me know. All right, good deal. Remember the commitment you've made to everybody who gets baptized here. We're growing together, and so we're grateful to have another family among us. We will be worshiping at the Ranch Church tonight for Minister Alliance Community Thanksgiving Service. We encourage you, if you can do that, if you're with family, enjoy that. God bless you. We'll see you again this week somewhere along the way. Happy Thanksgiving.
Okay, we're going to close today with a doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
God bless you and have a great week.